Good morning and greetings to each of you in Christ's name this morning. Today is the first Sunday of the new year, and with that comes an air of anticipation, for me anyway, for what God will do in my life, and I assume the rest of you are much the same in that regard. Now, I understand that the Wednesday evening topic was along the lines of New Year's goals, etc., so and regrettably, I wasn't able to be there. One of the children was recovering from being sick. And so this morning's devotional is certainly not an attempt to supersede what was the good that came from that. Just take this as additional encouragement. And I don't know what all was shared or what you were blessed by that evening, but would like to look, well, something that I read in a devotional by Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, had me thinking this past week, and I want to come back to that a little bit later, but that was kind of the spark behind this. The question that I would, so I've entitled this morning the devotional, A Godly New Year Perspective. What is God's goal, God's perspective, God's desire, and God's will for us in the new year? I invite you to ask yourself this question this morning. This is the time of year that we find ourselves being thoughtful about what has transpired in our lives in the past year as well as the future. And I think it's a good thing to do that. I think it's a healthy thing to note the passing of time and to ask ourselves questions like, where are we at personally and where are we at spiritually? I think that we can all think of things that we can rejoice in the past year, whether it's growth in our own lives or whether it's growth in the lives of those we love or things we've been able to accomplish with God's help or as well as life-changing events that have impacted our lives in a way that we enjoy thinking about. But then there's also, all of us can think of things in the past year that we regret, such as sin or personal failure or difficult life-changing events that took place that we'd rather forget. But what is God's perspective of both sides here, both the things that we wish we could erase and the things that we would like to hang on to? Even the difficult or painful things in the past year in our lives are things that God longs to redeem. He longs to see fruit in our lives as a result of these difficult things that we have walked through. And we could just say, well, I don't want to think about it. But I think if we take the time to think about those difficult things especially and note what they were, it helps to ensure that we can learn from them for the future. Because God wants to use those things in our own sanctification. It's a good thing to take inventory in our lives, an honest look at where we've been, where we're now, and what the trajectory of our life is, where the trajectory or direction of our life is heading to. And as I said, I've been thinking about some of these things in the past week. I was blessed and challenged by what Oswald Chambers had to say on his December 31st devotional in My Utmost for His Highest. And here's what he says about remembering yesterday's sin or regrets from the past year. Quote, at the end of the year, we turn with eagerness to all that God has for the future, and yet anxiety is apt to arise from remembering the yesterdays. Our present enjoyment of God's grace is apt to be checked by the memory of yesterday's sins and blunders. But God is the God of our yesterdays, and He allows the memory of them in order to turn the past into a ministry of spiritual culture for the future. End quote. I think he's saying and implying several things there. One is, don't stay or wallow in that sin or failure, but also that God allows the memory of those things so that we can learn from them and grow in our walk with Him. Instead of saying, I'll just forget about it, those things that we wish we could erase, I believe that we can experience God's grace while at the same time we learn from those failures or difficult things, and then it shapes how we go forward. I want to shift our thinking now to the earlier question, what is God's goal, his perspective, his desire, and his will for us in the coming year. I think we can find at least part of that answer in Philippians. Turn with me to Philippians 1 this morning. Philippians 1, verses 1 to 11, and then we'll skip ahead in the chapter and grab a few verses, verses 20 and 21, as well as verses 13 through 15 in chapter 2. But as we read this, listen to God's heart, listen to Paul's heart for the church at Philippi. That is very evident in this passage. And listen for what God is saying to you for as far as his will for you in this coming year as well. Philippians 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And then chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And verse 16 as well, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. As I said, Paul's heart for the church at Philippi is very evident here. In verse 1, he wishes them grace and peace. In verse 2, he thanks God every time he remembers them. In verse 4 and 5, he prays for them. In verse 6, he is confident that God will continue to work in their lives. And in verse 7 and 8, he longs for them and holds them in his heart. Then in verse 9, Paul shifts the focus to what he desires for them in the future. And I believe this is also God's goal and God's perspective, his will for us this morning. I invite you to listen to these verses again and ask the Lord what he is saying to you personally. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. from these verses in 2019, I invite you to take Paul's admonition and his desire for the church of Philippi and make it your own. In 2019, may our love abound. May we approve excellent things. May we be sincere and without offense. May we be filled with the fruits of righteousness. May we not be ashamed. May we be bold in Christ. May Christ be magnified in our life or death. May we do all things without murmuring and disputings. May we be blameless and harmless. May we hold forth the word of life. May we rejoice in the day of Christ in 2019. I want to close with another quote from Oswald Chambers from that same devotional. Quote, as we go forth into the coming year, let it not be in the haste of impetuous, unremembering delight, nor with the flight of impulsive thoughtlessness, but with the patient power of knowing that the God of Israel will go before us. Our yesterdays present irreparable things to us. It is true that we have lost opportunities which will never return, but God can transform this destructive anxiety into a constructive thoughtfulness for the future. Let the past sleep, but let it sleep on the bosom of Christ. Leave the irreparable past in his hands and step out into the irresistible future with him. End quote. May we learn from the past and embrace the future that God has for us this year. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, you've reminded us this morning of your goodness. You've reminded us also of our own humanity. And there are things in the past year that I would just as soon forget or just as soon do over. But Lord, we don't want to stay there. We want to move ahead. We want to learn from those things. We want to go forth in your name in boldness, in sincerity, in your grace. And we look forward to what you have for us in the coming year. Lord, help us not to squander the opportunities that we have, but when those things do happen, help us to learn from them and move forward in your name. We ask your blessing on the remainder of this service, and we want you to be central in it, and I pray that you would, your Spirit would minister to each of our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.